Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing praises, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts for God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So going to pray for Pete before he speaks and pray for ourselves as well. For some of you who may not know Pete, Pete's actually a reader. He has an amazing ministry up at Goodley where he often preaches. We go up there together and minister together. And so we don't hear him that often down here, but it's great to have you.
Thank you.
Let's just pray for Pete. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for Pete. We thank you for the faith that we see in him and working through him. And Lord, we thank you for what you have given him to say, and we pray that we will have open ears to hear and hearts to receive and to obey what you say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Excuse me just a minute. I've got to write a thank you letter. You know what Christmas is like? Busy, busy, busy. And it's just one of those things that completely went out the window. Auntie will never forgive me. After all, we're still in the season of Epiphany, so it's still Christmassy, isn't it? So that's okay. Dearest Auntie. Hey, Auntie. No, perhaps not. Hello, Auntie. No, that's just not me somehow. They don't sound quite right somehow. It's been so long since I've written a thank you letter. I'm really struggling here. So used to sending text and emails, aren't we? I'm sure the Apostle Paul didn't have a problem when he was writing his letter to the Colossians. I know what to do. When you need an answer, where do you go? Where do you go when you need an answer? I know. I'll use the interbroad hi-fi web. I'm really techie. I'll be okay. Especially when now I've got that talking box I can speak to and, whoa, it gives you all those answers. It's absolutely incredible. Right, here we go. Hello, Axel. Nah, you can tell who the Apple users are and who the others are. Hello, Serial. No. I got a new computer recently and it said, do you want to ask Cortina? No, nothing happening. I know what I'll do. I'll just use the old-fashioned way. I'll just type it into the computer. How to write a thank you letter. Whoa! Look at that. Whole templates on the internet telling me how to write a letter. Here we go. Hi, brackets name. Auntie. Thank you for your brackets gift. Winnie the Pooh's socks. At least they weren't Eeyore socks. Brackets, sentence or two about why the recipient's contribution was meaningful to you. I'm not sure I understand the question there, but. Winnie the Pooh was always my favorite. Brackets, when I was six. Again, thank you for your brackets gift. Winnie the Pooh socks. Yours sincerely, and this is the bit I like, brackets, your name. As if I forget that. With websites like this, do you think we've lost the ability to say thank you? Part of Paul's goal in his letter to the Colossians was to develop a people whose hearts were overflowing with thankfulness. That's why he repeats it three times in those last three verses that we read. In verse 15, he said, "And be thankful to God." In verse 16, he says, "With gratitude to God." And finally, in verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father. I think Paul knew that thankfulness permeates every part of our lives, our homes, our work, our communities, and our churches. So how does a thankful heart affect our spiritual lives? Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." There's only one way in which the word of Christ can dwell in us richly, and that is in a thankful heart. So as we approach God's word in private or in public, let us be thankful for the message of salvation that's in it. That's why I asked this morning if Suzanne could say it as loudly as possible. The response was quite good. But when we read those words in Scripture, our response is, "This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." The exclamation is often used, but shortened nowadays, to thank God. You hear it everywhere you go. Thank heavens. Thank goodness. Originally, this would have been an expression of gratitude to God. Maybe it's just a shortened version of thanks be to God, but people just say, "Oh, thank God." Perhaps we need to reclaim it and restore its original meaning. Thanks be to God. I was going to be really boring and give you a grammatical lesson. When we were in Egypt, we used to teach English. I failed my English O-level at school, but I managed to get a TESOL course. And it was interesting just reading that. It's grammatically wrong. Thank God is wrong. It's thanks be to God. A thankful heart is a perfect substitute for complacency. How complacent are we about things in our lives? When Jane and I were living in Cairo, where there's a water shortage, and when we were in Jordan as well, it was the same. And our neighbors had no running water, no bath, no shower. I did not take for granted the water coming out through my shower head every morning. And I used to say a little prayer, a bit like a grace, giving thanks for that water, giving thanks for the gas that was lighting it. Because often the water was cut off and we had no water. And for most of the time, our neighbors didn't have any water 24 hours of the day. Shirley's going to read us a reading from Jesus' life.
Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well.
Thank you. I wonder what the ungrateful nine were thinking about. Sounds a little bit like a film franchise, doesn't it? It's a follow-up to The Ungrateful Eight. The Ungrateful Nine, what were they thinking about? Perhaps the first one just forgot to say thank you. One said that it's okay because God knows that he was grateful. One waited to see if the cure would last. Perhaps one said he would probably bump into Jesus later and that would remind him to say thank you. Or one decided that he obviously never really had leprosy in the first place. Perhaps one gave the glory to the priests. One didn't see what the difference was saying thank you would make anyway. Another thought that one thankful group rep was more than enough. One might have said, it was Jesus' business to heal, so why bother thanking him? But the final one approached Jesus to express his thanks personally. The thankful heart of that man returning to Jesus drew him into a closer, more intimate relationship with Jesus. Initially, the lepers stood afar and shouted across. I imagine it was perhaps a valley. The lepers on one side and Jesus on the other, and these guys shouting across. In contrast, when the thankful man returned, he was able to approach Jesus. He was able to fall at his feet and thank him. A thankful heart draws us closer and closer to God so that we can dwell in his presence. As we receive God's healing, as we receive God's love and grace, as we receive God's forgiveness, our reaction is thankfulness. So how can we express our thankfulness? Paul's formula is quite simple in Colossians. Firstly, that everything we do, word and deed, we do it in the name of Jesus. That's not just good deeds, but actions in and through the power of Jesus. And secondly, that in everything we give thanks to God. We can express our thankfulness to God through songs and hymns. There are thanksgiving songs that focus on what God has done and is doing in our lives. There are praise songs that help us reflect on the character of God. But in all our worship, sung, spoken, thanksgiving or praise, we draw closer to God when we have a thankful heart. I want to thank Hannah this morning for leading us in our worship. But the worship group can only lead us so far. It's our thankful hearts that draw us closer to God. So we can express our thankfulness to God in words, through our prayers, through our worship, but also through acts of worship, such as celebrating communion. As we eat and drink, we remember Jesus' death and resurrection. But we remember it with thanksgiving in our hearts. We can express our thankfulness to God in other acts of worship, such as our financial offerings, a token response, celebrating what we have received from Him. Yesterday, I went flower shopping. Bit unusual for me, I know. And I didn't realize that most roses didn't have thorns on them. Either they sold the roses that didn't have thorns, or I found out from the shopkeeper that they actually peel all the thorns off. But I did find one with some thorns on, and it's placed on the communion table. And it's there because I found this great quote. Thanks be for the book of quotations. From a French critic and novelist, Alphonse Carr. Some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. I am thankful that thorns have roses. Some people are always grumbling because roses have thorns. I am thankful that thorns have roses. I'm going to leave the rose on the communion table, so as you come forward for communion, you can perhaps reflect on that. We all have thorns in our lives, some big, some small. We cannot change history. We cannot change the inevitable, the traffic jam to work, the weather. But we can change our attitude. We have a choice every day regarding our attitude. We can be disgruntled or ungrateful. We can be thankful for what God has done and what he is doing in our lives. We can then allow this attitude of gratitude fill our hearts to overflowing, so that it starts affecting our relationships, how we get on with our neighbors, our attitude at work, our attitude with relationships at home, and towards those who do the simplest and most small of things for us. So in conclusion, we express our thankfulness to God through our worship, through our offerings, through our service, through our attitude, and our heartfelt prayers. I'm going to use some familiar words as a final prayer, giving thanks to God the Father through the name of the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Mercy and grace are mine. Forgiven is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Savior of the world. Great is the Lord, I cry. God, let your kingdom come. Your word has let me see. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Let's remain seated as we sing this song.